Good afternoon and welcome to On the Docket. I'm Patricia Salkin, Dean of Touro Law Center in Central Islip. Every Sunday at this time, we talk about current legal issues and how they affect you. Today on the docket, we're talking about when financial problems push people to bankruptcy. Here at Touro Law Center, we know firsthand what families are going through because of our bankruptcy clinic. Our students handle pro bono cases that come to us from across Long Island. To help us learn more about the clinic and what types of cases we're seeing, we're joined by Professor Leif Rubenstein, who's the director of the Bankruptcy Clinic. Professor Rubenstein is active in the Nassau-Suffolk Law Services Bankruptcy Clinic and has been named as the Pro Bono Attorney of the Month by the Suffolk County Bar Association 3 times. He's also the director of our clinical programs. Thank you for being on the show today, Professor.
My pleasure.
Can you tell us a little bit about the clinic and the services that you provide?
Sure. The clinic is a bankruptcy clinic that handles both Chapter 7 and Chapter 13 petitions. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. We handle it without a fee to the general public. We handle cases that really go along the lines of people who are having financial difficulties, can't afford to pay their cars, their homes, and anyone who is in some financial distress, we will sit down with them. The services we offer is reviewing their financial records, reviewing what they have as far as assets, as far as liabilities, and then we look to see if the bankruptcy is truly for them.
And what are the main causes of bankruptcy?
The main causes, particularly in our area in Suffolk County, have been loss of income, loss of jobs by one member of the family, severe medical issues, which have caused people the inability to work, as well as overspending, people who just have credit cards and max out the credit cards and then realize they can't pay them back.
And so what are the considerations that people should go through when they're thinking about declaring bankruptcy?
Well, bankruptcy isn't something that you want to do every day. In fact, the law only permits you to file a bankruptcy in most cases once every 8 years. That's something that you should take seriously. What we do is we look over, as I said, all of the spending, all of the issues that are financial issues for the client, and we make a decision whether or not it's going to help them today to clear up their financial record, or perhaps it would be wise to just wait a while for any number of reasons and maybe file in the future or maybe not file at all.
So in terms of if somebody's coming to you, they're feeling that they are fairly desperate at this point. They've maybe lost their job. Maybe they have medical bills that have been piled up. They can't pay their rent or their mortgage. They can't pay their car loan. They have consumer debt on their MasterCard and Visa. So how do you make the determination in giving them advice as to when to declare bankruptcy and other avenues that they might pursue, like perhaps consumer debt counseling and trying to negotiate with the folks that they owe money to?
Well, first off, we analyze the type of debt that they have because, for instance, in a Chapter 7, which is a liquidation of someone's debt, the Chapter 7 doesn't liquidate all debt. It will not liquidate student loans, for instance. It won't liquidate a secured loan such as a car loan or a home mortgage if the individual wants to keep that. So if someone comes into us and says, you know what, I have a $10,000 student loan and I owe $5,000 in arrears on my car and I have $1,000 in a Visa bill, that person may not be exactly the prime candidate to file a bankruptcy. When you file a bankruptcy, what usually happens is it does affect your credit. And usually most people's credit is so bad that filing the bankruptcy can only be an improvement. But we want to look at that as well. So we'll look at their credit report. We'll look at their credit score. If their credit has not been adversely affected yet or is not as bad as it can get, we may make at that time some other recommendations such as debt consolidation, talking to some debt counseling agencies about where they may be able to revise their budget and spend some less money on credit cards and more money on more important things such as food and housing. So we will analyze this. It's quite an involved process. Our intake form is anywhere from 12 to 14 pages long, and the clients that come in have to be prepared to really discuss every single asset of their aspect of their budget. So they have to be able to determine that they have credit card debt, they have medical bills, they have this type of income. And we also look at the different type of income that comes in because unfortunately, there is an income qualification to file both types of bankruptcies, Chapter 7 and Chapter 13. In a Chapter 7, if the family is making too much income by a median income that's set by the IRS standards, if they're making too much income for the family, they probably don't qualify to file a Chapter 7. And on the other hand, in a Chapter 13, which is a wage earner's plan, a Chapter 13 is something where someone will make payments to pay back certain secured debts, for instance. If they're making too little money, they won't qualify for that either. So it's our job. You know, the students are the ones that do the intake in our clinic, and the students will sit with the clients for sometimes many hours to be able to get a full picture of what is the client's financial situation before we'll make that recommendation.
So you mentioned about credit reports and credit scores. Could you just explain a little bit about where somebody can go to get their credit report and what actually a good credit score is and what the number ranges are?
Well, the number ranges, if you have an 800 credit score, you're just about perfect. On the other hand, you have a 600 or below, you've got issues. People can find this out. There are any number of services online that you can get a free credit report from. There's a KarmaCredit.com is out there, which gives free credit report and free credit score information. And there's free credit report.com, which helps out. So any of these credit report companies will help out. It's important to note that there are three major credit reporting agencies operating in the country, and not every credit report is the same. So you want to look at all of the credit reports. You want to get all three because you want to analyze to see that they're all within the same range, that one doesn't pick up a type of debt that you didn't know of and that the other two credit reports did not have. So we ask the clients to get that beforehand. And if they can't, we help them get it, you know, one of the first times that they come into the clinic.
And so the things that get reported on that credit report are things like late payments, the amount of debt that somebody already has or outstanding debt on credit cards or the amount of a loan that they might have on a mortgage.
That's correct. What's interesting is credit reports also contain things that can adversely affect your credit, such as if you keep applying for credit cards for companies and whether you get the credit or don't get the credit card, every time you apply, it's an application that gets reported to the credit reporting agencies, and most of the times those are adversely affected on your scores. So if you keep applying because you want to see if you can get someone to give you a higher amount of money, if you ask for a lower interest rate, if you look to try to have some of the debt wiped out voluntarily, if you ask the banks to charge off some of the money that you owe them, all of that will adversely affect your credit. And a lot of people don't realize this. And the first time they look at the credit report and they say, gee, what are all these inquiries? Well, inquiries are every time you went for a loan or every time you asked for a change in your credit status. And again, that adversely affects your credit. So people sometimes come in saying, I've got great credit. I just got a credit card for $1,000 the other day, so my credit must be great. And they don't realize that some companies may take a chance on you for $1,000, but overall your credit is really not good at all.
Are you seeing any particular age group that comes in more often than not asking about bankruptcy?
Unfortunately, we see people from their early 20s till their late 80s. It's across the board, particularly in Suffolk County. Things and the economic situation in Suffolk has not greatly improved over the last couple of years, and people are still struggling. And there are still people out there who have held off on doing bankruptcy or even finding out about it for a long period of time, and they're coming in now and they're desperate because while they should have done it maybe a year or two or three ago, now all of a sudden they're realizing they don't have a choice at all. They must do it now.
And how would somebody reach you at the Bankruptcy Law Clinic?
You can reach us by calling area code 631-761-7080. The clinic, because it is staffed by student interns, works on a semester basis. So the next time we'll be open as far as taking in any applications will be in August. So my suggestion is to call sometime around the first, second week in August, and we'll see if we can help out.
And what kinds of criteria do you use on that intake to even bring people in to have a conversation? Will you talk to anybody that calls or?
We'll talk to anybody that calls, but we are considerate of our fellow attorneys out there who also give assistance for a fee. If an individual or a family can afford to pay for an attorney, we generally will not take that person or family into our clinic.
Thank you, Professor Rubenstein. Please stay with us because coming up, we'll be talking to the professor about additional questions regarding bankruptcy. There's a lot to get through here. You're listening to On the Docket with Toro Law Dean Patricia Salkin on Long Island News 103.9. Welcome back to On the Docket. I'm Toro Law Dean Patricia Salkin, and I'm here with Professor Leif Rubenstein, director of the Toro Law Bankruptcy Clinic. So, Professor Rubenstein, what do you need to have in order to declare bankruptcy?
Well, anybody with any type of debt can actually declare bankruptcy, whether you owe $2,000 or $200,000, whether you have a house or don't have a house. What we look to protect is if you come to us and you have no assets, you don't have a car, you don't have a house, we're a little bit more have a leeway to be able to file quicker. You have no assets that are at risk. Nothing that can be taken by the court to help pay off your creditors. So at that point, we look at your income. Most of our clients have Social Security income, disability income, and so we know pretty quickly that they're going to qualify in the income requirements. As far as the debt that the particular debtor or our client has, it's up to them when they want to file the bankruptcy. You know, when the bankruptcy laws were created, congressional intent was that everybody should have a fresh start. Every family, every individual should be able to declare bankruptcy. So we pretty much look to do that for the individuals that qualify. As I said before, there is an income restriction, but for most of the clients that come into our clinic, that's not an issue.
So you said, you know, you look at their assets and what they might have to pay off their debt. If somebody owns a car outright, if somebody owns their wedding ring, if somebody owns a piece of jewelry that's been in the family for generations, are they required to sell those assets in order to pay off their creditors?
Well, actually, they can't sell their assets if they're going to go bankrupt because some of that money that they're going to sell would be looked at by the trustee as something that he or she can go after to try to get that money back to pay some money towards creditors. So what we do is we advise clients, don't make any exchanges, don't make any transfers of any of your assets. Come into us and let's see what your assets are. There's a long list of exemptions that people can claim in order to keep that particular asset away from the trustee, away from your creditors. So, for instance, a particular car that has a value of $4,000 of equity or less, we can protect it. And in many cases, even if it's more than $4,000, we can protect it by the exemption laws. Same thing with a home. People don't realize they can have a home. Every individual, if they have under $150,000 in equity in a home in New York State, they can protect that home and not lose it to the bankruptcy creditors. And a lot of people don't realize that, and it's important to know that you can save these things. We will tell the clients that if you can't save something, if something is at risk, if an engagement ring is at risk, we will tell them that. A lot of times a decision has to be made, gee, do I wipe out a large sum of money, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 that I owe, and risk possibly giving up an engagement ring that's worth $5,000. And sometimes people have to make that hard decision when it comes to an asset.
So you mentioned the bankruptcy trustee, and most people probably have never heard of a bankruptcy trustee or have no knowledge of bankruptcy court. What happens when somebody comes in to see you and you decide to go forward and file for bankruptcy? What is the world that they're now walking into?
Well, the bankruptcy process is a rather lengthy process. It's a minimum of 3-4 months, and it can be longer than that, depending on how long it takes to get the petition ready. A petition is a document that's prepared by our office once we have all the facts. Once we have all the bank statements and all the financial information from the client, we can then prepare a petition which states on it what the debts are, what the assets are. That's the actual document that gets filed with court. Upon the filing of that docket, document, the court issues a docket number. And that docket number is important because it indicates to creditors that the client has actually filed the bankruptcy. So why that's important is because if people are trying to claim the wages of our client, if people are looking, creditors are looking to restrain a bank account, if they're looking to even take a car of a client, once we have a docket number, that's proof the bankruptcy has been filed. When filing a bankruptcy, there's an automatic stay that goes in effect, which prohibits these creditors from taking any further action, at least in the for the immediate future, against our clients. With that in effect, the client can breathe a little easier, and we sit back and wait till we get assigned a court date, which usually happens about 4 or 5 weeks after the petition is filed. The court in Suffolk County, Nassau County, we go to the Eastern District Court, which is located right in Central Islip, and we meet with a trustee. A trustee is an attorney appointed by the court system to really for the benefit of the creditors. The trustee is going to look to see where all of our clients' money is that's not exempt, that assets that may not be able to be protected, as I mentioned before, can be taken by the trustee. The trustee can then use that to pay off, even if it's only pennies on the dollar, at least pay the creditors something. That's not usual with most of our cases. Most people, by the time we're done claiming all of the exemptions we can claim, are labeled non-asset cases. There's no money or no assets that the trustee will take. And then what routinely will happen after that is that the court will review all the documents, and in a matter of about 6 weeks after we go to court, 8 weeks after we go to court, the debts are discharged. An order is issued by the bankruptcy court to that effect, and anyone that was listed and owed the money on that bankruptcy petition for debts that are dischargeable, for debts that can be wiped out, are discharged. And remember I said certain debts such as criminal fines, municipal fines, student loans are not dischargeable, but for the most part, everything for credit card bills, medical bills, personal loans are dischargeable.
And has there been an increase in bankruptcy over the last few years?
The statistics are down as far as actual filings in the court out in Suffolk County in the Eastern District. Our clinic, the statistics are up because there are still, as I said, so many people that can't afford to pay for an attorney. We usually have a waiting list, and we usually can only handle a certain amount each semester. So we've seen an increase.
And so it's important to remember also, I think, that when people decide that they would like to declare bankruptcy, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily not a wage earner, and it doesn't mean that they can't afford an attorney. They may just see things coming down the road that are not looking good.
That's correct. And you mentioned wage earner, and I had said before that there's a Chapter 7 as well as a Chapter 13. A Chapter 7 is for individuals who really could not afford to pay any part of their debt back, who don't have income that's in excess of the income limitations, and who have debts that will be discharged, such as credit card bills and medical bills. But a Chapter 13 is something called the Wage Earner's Plan. And someone can come into us and they can owe some money. For instance, we had a client that owed something in the neighborhood of close to $60,000 on his mortgage. And it was because of some loss of jobs and some illness in the family. But now he was back on track. He had the income. And in fact, he probably didn't have enough income. He probably had more income than he could have to file a Chapter 7. So he said, you know what? I don't have many other debts. He only had a few $1,000 in credit card bill, but I owe $60,000 to my bank. What can I do? Well, we're allowed to stretch out a payment plan for no more than 60 months, 5 years, and we created a 5-year Chapter 13 plan for him, which enabled him to pay a little bit more than $1,000 a month for 60 months. That stopped the foreclosure on his house. That enabled him to pay the monies that he owed in arrears and late charges and legal fees on the bank. And so long as he continues to pay that for 60 months, as well as pay his future monthly mortgage payments, he saved his house.
So you talk about the future and saving your house, saving yourself. What does bankruptcy do for your future and for your future credit rating? Because you said earlier that people are entitled to a clean slate under the bankruptcy law and entitled to be able to get that fresh start. Can you ever get rid of the fact that you had a bankruptcy?
Yes. While it stays on your record for your credit report record for a minimum of 7 years, banks, once they see subsequent to the filing of the bankruptcy, a payment schedule for certain debts on a consistent basis, such as your rent or a car payment or a mortgage payment. After you file the bankruptcy, most banks, if they see that you've made payments for about a year, for 12 payments in a row, they will look to you to, and they see that your income is there, they will look to give you some more credit, some new credit. So you can rehabilitate your credit. There are a lot of other ways that you can try to rehabilitate the credit. But most people are better off after they have filed the bankruptcy than they were before.
So as a reminder, you said that the clinic would entertain new clients and new potential bankruptcy cases come August. How do people contact you?
Well, again, the number they can call is 631-761-7080, and you can tell the receptionist that they're interested in filing bankruptcy. The receptionist will take an initial intake form, and then a student will get back to them with set up a date and appointment to meet with us for a more detailed intake.
And what's the most important advice that you would give to somebody considering contacting a lawyer about a potential bankruptcy?
Well, I would again, not make any transfers. Don't sell that car right away. Don't clean out your bank account because all of that is reportable. Get together all of your records. Get your credit report. The longest delay we have in our program is people who have not put together records, have not put together bank statements or income tax returns that we need, and it takes them months to do. We'll start doing it now, and that way, if you give us a call in August, you'll have everything we need.
Thank you, Professor Rubenstein, for your thoughts and commentary on this important topic. It was wonderful to have you on the show. And thanks out there for listening. We'll be back on Long Island News 103.9 next Sunday at 4:30 p.m. with another great episode of On the Docket. Until then, this is Torah Law Center Dean Patricia Salkin. Have a good week.